I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, check us out on the radio.com app. Morning, Georgia.
Morning.
On a day where we acknowledge the birthdays of, well, we just heard Whitney Houston, but earlier we did a shout-out to D-Led, our own D-Led. It says D. Orlando Ledbetter. It is his birthday. What do you think D-Led's up to today, Sam?
Man,
can't you know,
that's
do
a
either.
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, both his loves are kind of on hold right now. He's not teaching any no football right now. I'm sure he's got other interests.
Well, he's still doing camp now. He's still doing virtual camp, and there's a way he can be in and ask questions to the players and whatnot. When I go in and listen, he's usually as is custom. He usually gets the first question. So he's working.
Yeah. He's the Helen Thomas of sports reporters
at the field. Nah, that's a bad.
A is the
what an analogy
top.
That is.
Yeah, it is. But the players expect it.
The players expect it. They expect you know for D Led to get the first question. Matt, I want to ask you this question. What you think?
If AD you're right,
yeah, good, great.
And somebody will yell back. Okay. You know what they'll yell back? Hey, pipe down. If you're just joining us, throughout the show, we've been getting the perspective of, and again, we don't want to say millennials, but young folks. This is all on the heels of watching the PGA Championship and all the young golfers led by Bruce Koepka. We're talking about the iconic moment for their generation was Tiger Woods hitting that putt at the 2000 PGA Championship where he walked it in and then did the point at the end there. And I thought, well, you know what? We have, Sam and I and folks of our generation have iconic moments, but I wonder if they are the ones that younger folks have. And yesterday we had a conversation with Jahi and we found out they're not. So we thought we'd get Jay's iconic moments for a couple different sports. He gave us his football one. We got Joe Patrick's baseball one. We didn't get Jay's, but I know he's got an NBA iconic moment. And I think this is his opinion encompasses what most young people believe is their iconic moment. And if you disagree with him, 404-741-0929. Give us a shout or shoot us a text at 92.9 The Game.
So I have a baseball one and I have a basketball one. Which one do you want first?
Either one, man.
Okay. So my basketball one, it's actually two. I have two. Actually,
you're speaking for a whole generation now.
Yeah. I'm going to go with just technically like four, but I'm going to go with three. But the biggest one for me, I'm sorry, the biggest one is still like I'm a millennial, but I'm young, but I'm still old enough to remember Jordan's last championship. That when he put that pseudo
that
push off on Bill Russell,
Byron Russell, excuse me.
I said Bill, he would never do that to him. On Byron Russell, yeah, that's no. That right there is that
no,
right
he
there.
Would
is,
not.
Yeah, yeah. okay. That right there is that's the dopest thing. But Jordan getting crossed over by Iverson.
There you go.
Jordan getting crossed over by Iverson though. Yeah. That right there is that's epic. That's epic. Like. That's just like a change of guard thing right there. So I'm going to go with those two moments that happened just to be with Jordan. And so for my other one, my baseball, I got to go with Barry Bonds getting a record. This is for me.
You're speaking for a generational,
me,
man.
Between that's one, and the and even though it's kind of tainted, the home run race. With McGuire and Sammy Sosa,
it's a little tainted,
but
no, it's a whole lot of tainted.
It's tainted.
But
that excited everybody back into baseball. So after the strike,
Okay. All right. Well, that's what we asked for, right? So I'm sure that you are having people screaming at the radio right now. But again, we deputized you to speak for a generation. I ain't gonna lie to you. The crossover on Jordan was one I would choose. But I had another Jordan one. And again, for me, different generation, is when Jordan became Jordan. And he became Jordan on that Sunday afternoon in Boston Garden where they lost the game, but he slapped 63 on the best Celtics team there was. Of that entire decade where you went back and forth between the Lakers and the Celtics, interrupted a couple of years by the Pistons, and 1 year by the 76ers, the 86 team was their best team, and he went in there coming off a busted foot and put 63 up on them. By the way, the night before he put up 49. But I'll tell you, the other Iverson one that I really enjoy, that's a moment, is when he sunk that shot when they were in the playoffs against the Lakers and stepped over Ty Lue. That's the one, the two to stand out for me. I don't know about you, Sam.
Now, for me, Jordan is obvious. To me, goes back to what you call it, the madhouse.
Madison.
Slam dunk competition. Yeah, the slam dunk competition.
The one he lost.
Which we here in Atlanta still think that Neek won.
Yeah, no, he lost it. This is Chicago one saying that too.
But he won it, and the slam dunk is kind of iconic when he cocks it back and he's coming down the middle court and getting ready to hit that particular dunk. And just what it did for that competition, because now you don't get the star athletes participating in it, because I think even – that's been so long ago, but they reference back to that slam dunk competition, and your big names run from it. They avoid it. And, we never seen LeBron James in it, and we never will. And so I think that's just how strong that was. So for me, that's a very iconic NBA moment.
Whatever yours are, give us a shout. Again, 404-741-0929 if you want to jump in on the conversation, or at 92.9 The Game, and we'll check back with Jahi, and he could read yours. Also want to give a shout out to the folks, Brandon and everybody out at the Paulding County Firehouse that regularly listen to us. And wherever you are, if you're a frontline worker, first responder, wherever it is, if you're listening to us, we appreciate it. And give us a call or send us something on Twitter, and we will give you a shout out here. But let's get back. I'm sorry, Jahi, did you have one? Oh, okay. Who do we have?
We have Bill from Fayetteville.
Bill, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joining Sam and Greg.
Morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, fellas.
How are you?
I have two real quick, but first of all, you said Bruce Koepka. It's actually Brooks.
I've been doing it all morning long. I apologize. I know it's Brooks, but I some reason Bruce comes out from time to time. Busted.
But I've got two. I got two sports iconic moments for me. First, it was I've got a baseball and a basketball. The baseball was, you'll remember, Dale Murphy had his continuous game streak, and it was several hundred games, and he actually cut his hand on the old plexiglass center field at the old Fulton County Stadium, and he didn't start the game, but it was against the Mets, and Dwight Gooden was pitching, and he pinch hit and hit a home run. That was iconic for me. I loved to watch Dale play, but my basketball was when John Starks crossed over with baseline and over Jordan.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was Cartwright, but I know Jordan was in the mix. But, yeah, that was a nasty dunk.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm telling you, those mid-90s teams, Pat Riley, I mean, him and Jerry Sloan, those guys were just unfortunate to have those great teams during that era. And there was only a two-year window where Jordan stepped away and Rudy T took advantage of it. With the Rockets, yeah, and Hakeem Olajuwon. But man, and listen, we sleep on them Pacer teams. You sleep on those, man, with Mark Jackson and Reggie and that team also gave those Bulls teams headaches for the second the second row three piece. But anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Again, and it's the iconic moments that you don't expect to hear. And again, forgive me, I've been saying Bruce every once in a while. I want to make sure I say Brooks Koepka, because he was the one that spurred this on. But getting back to the NBA.
Are we watching for iconic bubble moments? Do you think there's some iconic bubble moments ahead as we watch this season unfold?
Well, yeah, right now it's TJ I forgot his last name.
T.J. Warren
from the Pacers and what he's doing.
Yeah.
He is the top scorer. He's the guy to watch. So that, for me, is the story.
He's been great. Devin Booker has also been another that has been. Guys that maybe during the previous start of the season you weren't paying that close attention to. Maybe you weren't watching the Phoenix Suns then. And people who are seeing them now say, wait a minute, these guys are coming along. It's amazing what some teams and some players have been able to do with this four-month break that they've had. And some teams are coming back, and they look like a different team. You know, they really do. So to me, that's been fun to watch. And not saying they're going to win the whole thing, but a little bit of a glimpse into what's coming up, you know, as far as the NBA goes, and some teams to watch for the future. So it has been entertaining. To watch so far. Looking for more today. We got a game today with Memphis against Toronto. And you said Memphis has a young player you enjoy watching. And Toronto, you know, Toronto seems like they got a little chip on their shoulder. Like, don't forget about us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Sam, we talked about it in the negative many, many times. But I have absolutely no problem, and I don't know how you differentiate between the two, by putting an asterisk next to this year's champion in any of the professional sports. We don't know when football is going to start and if they're going to play a full list of games. We see what's going on with baseball. But whoever comes out of this 2020 season in professional sports, I got no problem with them putting an asterisk. So you go and look and see why. Because, you know, when you talk about the times in the past when it was going to be used, it was usually as a detriment to the person or the achievement. Ford Frick tried to put it on Roger Maris, and you know. By the way, did you go back and look at that movie? Have you seen it? Have you had a chance to go back and look at 61?
I'm not yet.
I went back and looked at it the other day. It holds up. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Billy Crystal's directorial debut, and he chronicled that season, if you've not seen it. It's on HBO Max or HBO whatever it's called right now. But there was supposed, you know, Ford Frick said, if you don't do it in the same amount of time as Babe Ruth did it in 154 games, then even though it's a season, you're going to get an asterisk. Well, that's in the negative. But this, I think, whoever comes out champion this year, whatever the sport, I think they deserve an asterisk. So people will go back and look and see what they had to go through to get that chip. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. that becomes the story and the backstory going forward with this, what it takes to get there and what it gets there to win. And like you said earlier, Greg, you know, I don't think just NBA. I think potentially all of these sports that are going, in our minds anyway, the champion or whoever wins it in the end is going to get an asterisk. But still, they're going to go out and play for it. It's what we've been waiting for. It's what we've been watching for. And it's what we've needed to give us a degree of normalcy. Now, let's see how they finish things off. We talked earlier about the bubble sports and the non-bubble sports.
Well, we're going to get back to that as we wrap up the show coming up after 9:40. But I'll tell you what, up next, I want to get back to a little bit of college football conversation. Chris Mahler is going to join us from Saturday Down South. Got a few more things still to get off our chest about what we think college football is going to look like if it even happens this upcoming season. And that season, when is that going to start? Fall? Spring? Who knows? That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you. Not nine floors up in the Kia Studios, which we have not seen in some time, but in the virtual Kia Studios, which are different. Hope all is well with you wherever you may be on this Sunday morning. And thanks for bringing us along with you. We're available, of course, through the radio.com app and all of your smartphones and smart devices, wherever you may be. So you can keep up with us as we try to get this football season started, as training camp has started for our Atlanta Falcons, and as college teams are trying to get going, high school teams are trying to get going, you will get the very latest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Y'all just stay safe out there. That's all it is to it. Just stay safe and realize this is a moving target, sports. Right? So we don't know what's going on, but we got a guest up next, right?
Yeah. who knows what's going on and keeps an eye on things. College football, because a lot of people have been anxious. Man, we want to make sure we get it in, if possible. Chris Marler joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline from Saturday Down South. Chris, good morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
We are doing fine, sir. How about you and yours? How you been during this craziness?
I tell you what, man, this has not been my favorite year. I will say that. Ever since LSU got a quarterback, just the world has gone crazy. And I don't know if it's gonna get right before football season, but I'm hoping it will. I'm hoping it will.
So that's what did all this. We've been wondering, man.
Oh, okay.
So that's what did all this. LSU got a quarterback, huh?
And for our audience,
I'm just saying, it was never like this before. And then Joe Burrow comes along and just lights the world on fire, and just, you know, and everything's changed. Everything's changed now.
Okay, so for our audience, why LSU? As far as that affecting you, the way it is, what's your connection to them?
I am admittedly a big Alabama fan, so I got to find blame on something. I'm not going to blame it on Bama kickers because they've always been bad. But I think it's got to be something in the water down there in Baton Rouge.
Okay. Okay.
But it's that with Chris Marler this morning. Chris, the thoughts about what we're seeing with college football. We're going to get to the SEC in a minute and the schedule that's been released and things of that nature. But yesterday we get the MAC, and that's the first. We've seen things go down with, you know, D3, D2, with FCS. But to see the first FBS conference say, hey, we're not going to play. How did that leave you feeling?
Yeah, you know, I hate it because I love the MAC. There's just a sweet spot of the football season that it's my absolute favorite. It usually happens between mid-October or late October through mid to late November, where for whatever reason the MAC is like, listen, we're going to start playing football on Tuesday nights. I'm like, what? Why would you do that? And then, like, the gambling side of me is like, what? Yes, we should always do that. We got football on, like, 7 nights a week, including the NFL. So it breaks my heart. I'm not going to be able to, you know, watch Kent State and Central Michigan have, like, a 66-63 game on a Tuesday night. And I hate it for those athletes, obviously, you know, all joking aside. It sucks. It's a terrible situation for a lot of programs. And, I think last time I was on here, we talked about this with Kent State. Kent State's a program that was supposed to play Bama, Penn State, and Kentucky and generate $5 million in revenue from just those three games. And that's an athletic department and a program whose entire budget for all athletics is $30 million a year. So that's obviously a huge chunk of change that they were going to be missing from that budget. I hate that. I hate that, again, especially for the student-athletes that are going to miss out on the season. I think it's premature and a little bit reactionary and overreacting for people to think, well, because the MAC did this, the Power Five conferences are also going to do this. I'm still not in the camp and one that's believing that we're going to see this sweeping effort across all of college football by next week, that we're going to cancel the season. I don't believe that's going to happen.
Chris Marler joining Sam Gregg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I mean, of all teams you could have picked to talk about a Tuesday night gambling spree, he picks my wife's school. He picks Central Michigan, the Dick Enberg school, the Chippewas of all.
Chippewas.
She's smiling in the other room over here, but I mean, of all the schools you could have picked, right? Listen, and keeping it up north there, Chris, and I want you to take off your fan hat, your gambler's hat, all of that, and focus for on the journalistic side, the reporting side, because there's some things that have been done, speaking of the power conferences, and staying in Michigan. They moved up, the Big Ten moved up that Michigan-Ohio State game, the traditional end of the big games in the Big Ten every year, but because of what could possibly happen, and hoping that the schedule goes off when it's supposed to, they moved that game up for fear that they may cancel it. So it's October 24th, Michigan-Ohio State. My point is, as you talk to our audience, as somebody who keeps their finger on the pulse of what's going on, explain to them what you think is going to really play out here, or where it is, at least right now, across the board from the things that you've heard and what you feel.
So that's a great, great point, and I think that it's something that we were hearing for a while before this schedule was finalized and all that kind of stuff. in an odd, yeah, odd situation, like, you know, the game, like to sit there and watch Ohio State, Michigan. It's always like some late November, cold, crisp morning. The sun never shines, I feel like, that game. It's always like a little bit overcast. Fantastic game. And I think moving it up, it is a little bit odd, a little bit something like, you know, we're not used to. Now, the reason why, and I'm as optimistic as they come about us having this season, I will follow that up by saying I am not as optimistic that we're going to finish that season if something happens, because there's so much unknown. And that's not saying that they have intentions of starting it and not finishing the season, but there's just so much unknown and uncertainty surrounding this college football season, more than we've ever had. And I think that by moving that game up, by moving some of the premier games up in the schedule, you have a much better chance of at least getting the fans what they want. And I think that's a big part of it right there is, you know, like, how awful would the 2020 season be if we got 5, 6, 7 games through and Michigan and Ohio State, especially if they were both undefeated, and we couldn't get that last game? It'd be awful. It'd be even worse than we would be, you know, we would be hoping for, like, for all the things that are going to happen this season. I do think that is one major factor that went into it. The other part of it is you got to have some sort of competitive balance, I think, with all these schedules. And I think by tinkering with some of these games and adding games for you know, the SEC added 2 games, the Big Ten added 1 conference game. You know, I know the ACC is doing a 10+1 in terms of conference and 1 non-con game. You know, a lot of those slates are already very difficult. You know, there's Ohio State last year is the first team from a Power 5 conference to go through a schedule that included 9 games and a conference championship game and actually go undefeated to make the playoffs. No other team has done that before Ohio State. Gone through a 9-game conference schedule and a conference championship game and then actually made the playoffs. It's a very difficult and tough slate and road to get to the actual college football playoff by playing that many games. So I think by moving that up, you're also going to see a little bit of competitive balance where you're not kind of just stacking all of the difficult games in one part of the season, whether it be the ending or the beginning.
Spend the time on the waitforit.com hotline, Chris Marler. You can follow him. He is on Twitter. He is social. You can follow him at Vern Funquist. At Vern Funquist.
What?
That's right, folks. That's who he is on
Vern
Funquist. Vern Funquist. Chris, you know, the Southeastern Conference to me kind of out, I don't say they outsmarted, but I like what they did in far as they slid the start of their schedule back to the latter part of September. And it gives them a chance to really watch how other people do it, because that's the big thing you're hearing at all levels right now. Okay, we're going to go out and play, but how do we play? Who's on the field? Who's not on the field? How do we protect folks? And I think they're going to watch to see how some other people either succeed or flounder at it before they do. I mean, your thoughts about them doing that? To me, that was kind of strategic.
I have to – I know you just said you have your journalistic hat on, also not your fan hat. But, you know, there's a large part of me that's – I get paid to cover the SEC football. And so I want to say – I want to agree with you in so many ways with that and kind of, you know, beat the drum and then bang my chest with the SEC. I have to disagree. I think by moving the schedule, they did a fantastic job, and you're right about that part, about how we're going to have a wait-and-see approach, we're going to push this thing back as much as possible. You know, as soon as the Big Ten came out and said, we're not going to play non-conference games, I thought basically we were just delaying the season without formally delaying the season. I think that's something the SEC tried to do, in essence, of by moving the season start dates back to just conference games. So now you're going to have games starting September 26th, which is really only a week after some of these and most of these original first conference games in the SEC. What I will say is I think the SEC has been behind and dragged their feet way too long on every other aspect of making the schedule. And that's a conference that loves to be, you know, like I said earlier, they love to beat their chest. They love to sit there and have, like, you know, this very, very, you know, macho bravado type of, we're the best, we're the premier conference in the country, and most of the things that we do kind of dictate the rest of the landscape of college football. And I don't think they've done that this time. I don't think Greg Sankey has done a very good job. I've been very critical of that. I think his job is a lot tougher than mine, and I know that. I think he's a lot smarter than me. I know it's going to shock you guys, but I'll say it. I think he's a smarter person than me. What I will say is the way they've handled this whole schedule thing, and you look at just releasing the extra two games, I think they got pushed around by the administration, the athletic departments in the SEC, because I think it's the pettiest conference in the country in terms of like rivalries and how each school feels their importance and where they should be and how their schedule should go. And, you know, it shouldn't be more difficult than this team's. I'm talking specifically about Florida. But I think everything else they had done besides pushing the schedule start date back, I just said, no offense, Florida fans. But,
oh, man, that is, you're that smooth, is what funny. Happened. You are smooth, funny. I like that.
I appreciate that. I've been trying to tell my fiance that for years. She doesn't listen.
Chris.
I just think that they dragged their feet. They've done a very poor job of being a conference that loves to be the front runner and loves to be the leader of how things are done and the best of the best. And I think, honestly, when you look at what the Big Ten's done, they've copy and pasted things that the Big Ten have done, and they've done it a month or so after the Big Ten was able to come to a solution. And I tell you what, the Pac-12, and my fiance went to Oregon State, so I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but the Pac-12 is an afterthought. It is an absolute afterthought and a laughing, like running joke around the rest of the country in Power 5 conferences about their importance and their significance in mattering into how a college playoff is going to go or the landscape of football season. They were even out ahead of the SEC. They were able to make a schedule right off the bat. So how difficult could it have been for Greg Sankey and these members of the SEC to get this thing done?
Yeah, boy, I wish we had you on longer because you just teed one up for me. Because while you may feel that way about the Pac-12, they may be the leaders as far as what happens next in college football because these guys go on strike and realize the power that the players have. Again, that's a whole other episode of Oprah, which we can do a show on that.
I just want to say you are 1,000% right in watching these athletes. And I know a lot of people hate it because they want to see what they're used to. They just want to see football season. But watching these athletes come into their own and understanding the power they truly have of it has been the one bright, shining light of 2020 as far as college football goes. It's been awesome to see.
Okay, give it to me on a scale of 1 to 10. They're playing this year in college football because we don't know when it's going to start. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Do they sit out and wait for the NFL draft, or are you going to see them in a college uniform this year? Scale of 1 to 10.
Absolutely love this question. And I don't know, wait, is 10 or 1 them sitting out?
10 sitting out is 10. 1 playing.
Oh, 1. 1.
That's what I thought.
1.
For both of them?
Kids. Now listen, I tell you what, what's going to end up happening is Trevor Lawrence has been the most outspoken player. It's got to make like the rest of college football feel uncomfortable because he's the premier player. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. As much as I love Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence is just out here tweeting nonstop. Like, by the way, we want to play. I don't know why y'all are messing around. Like, we want to play. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is definitely going to play. What you're going to see is these kids sitting out. Michael Parsons, all these guys from the Big Ten. You have three guys from the Big Ten: Bateman, the receiver from Minnesota. Rondell Moore. I love that kid from Purdue. Those kids are all going to be potential first-round picks. Some of those guys are going to be top five picks. Russo, the kid from Miami, same thing.
Right.
But those kids are not playing on contenders outside of Penn State, and Michael Parsons just had a child. And that makes sense for him to kind of remove himself and not, put himself in harm's way if he gets sick. The only teams that are going to be immune to this, in my opinion, are contenders and teams that are national brands. Ohio State, Clemson, Bama, LSU, Georgia, those kind of teams. Now, when it will change, if something happens, something crazy happens, and Clemson or Ohio State goes 7-3 or 8-2, mm-hmm. and they gotta finish their season against Rutgers or Wake Forest, they're not gonna be playing that game.
Hey, Chris, we gotta get you back.
I'm fully excited to play.
We're up against it. You were great this morning. We got to get you back. Some more thoughts as we navigate our way through this minefield. But that's Chris Mahler, Saturday down south, joining us here. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend, man, and stay safe out there.
You too, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. until 10 every Sunday morning. You can also check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. Mr. Crenshaw, I think you will echo what I'm about to say. We want to send a, we've been doing birthday well wishes today, D. Led and a few others. Dion's his birthday. Dion's 53 today, man. But we want to send a congratulations out. Yeah, I know, right? to our own Reggie Rouse.
Yes.
Yeah,
very
I think
much.
Jay, he too. All three of us. We want. I know Reggie listens to the show, and Reggie got himself a well-deserved acknowledgement by the company. And hopefully, he won't get an offer somewhere other than where it already is here. Hopefully, he can stay in Atlanta. But a well-deserved this man. Listen, Sam. When I got to this building, this station was called something else. It was Dave FM. And I was, you know, I only got back in this business part-time, and I was doing nights and sometimes late nights. And I'd be there past midnight. And Reggie would come walking in at 11:30 at night to do some work. He'd be there for the next few hours. And this was over a decade ago. But that's the work ethic.
Wow.
The work ethic this man has. And I've been through a lot. I've been through four program directors in this building. And every time they make a switch and every time they make a change, Reggie's the dude who they have oversee everything. And so, again, I don't want to put his business too much out there, but Reggie got, like I said, a well-deserved acknowledgement from the corporate offices. And we just want to take a second and say congratulations, my man. Big dog. Congratulations, big dog. Right?
Yeah. We congratulate him. We're proud of him.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic job. And, wow, when I heard that this week, I said, yeah. That is fantastic. Great coach.
Listen, it's a special, but it's also an unusual day in sports. We got a Braves doubleheader. We got a crimson shirt Sunday at the PGA. I will say a full-blown red. I think when he's not in contention, we give it another shade of red, wouldn't you think?
we just pick another shade of red.
Yeah.
Cardinal.
Okay. Well, no, we don't want to give him a Cardinal one. We don't want nothing Cardinal.
Well, it's Cardinal. That's why he went to school. Stanford Cardinal.
Yeah, okay, but, you know, just that name right now because we're thinking of baseball and what they got, but okay.
Yeah, right. But that's he's a different Cardinal. He went to that's and it's wanna... and it's not Cardinal Bird. It's Cardinal Color Stanford.
All right, well.
It's called the Cardinal.
So we got that going on, but listen, when's the last time there was a Braves doubleheader?
Man, I don't know.
See, I was thinking about that. I can't remember the last time there was one. I thought about that, too.
You know, it's been a minute.
Doubleheader.
It's been a minute, you know.
So I'm looking forward to that, though, to be honest with you, because seven-inning game, it's everything about what's going on with this season. You have to watch how the coaches, the managers are handling their bullpen, what they're doing as far as, like we talked about Tuki Toussaint this week getting pulled after four innings. It's a regular season. He's going to be left in that extra inning to get a chance at getting the win. He was he 4-0, something like that? He had the... He had a game where I think he was either shutting those guys out when they pulled him or they had limited runs. But we wouldn't have seen that action is what I'm speculating. But how managers are handling their bullpens with all this, and today's going to be even more interesting because it's seven-inning games, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And like you said, you're going to manage it differently. Today's NASCAR race is not a 500. It's a shorter race because they raced yesterday at Michigan. It's going to be another shorter race today. And you don't just feel like they're just out there turning left. You know, this much more strategic. You got to get things right. Your pit stops matter more. Figuring out that gas mileage, which is usually a problem sometimes at Michigan, means more. And your tires and everything. So, I mean, with it being a shorter race, to me, you know, everybody stays on point. You're looking for those opportunities to get the lead and drive. And it's a different, you know, the strategies are just different. To me, it's more fun to watch.
And we rarely talk about this, but as we've been watching, you know, bubble sports versus non-bubble sports, I actually spent a little bit of time watching, you know, some NHL this past week, only because, and this is how they say it up on the north side, the Blackhawks, they actually went and beat the home team, man, because I think they're playing in Edmonton in that arena, and they took out the Oilers. So they have advanced. What's going on in hockey right now has been kind of interesting.
Yeah, because a lot of the teams that they want to be around are getting knocked out of this thing as far as the NHL goes. So a lot of the marquee teams or teams that were doing very well before the break, you know, for the pandemic and coming back. And so there's, I mean, it's a little bit of concern, but – to me, that brings a little intrigue in me when you have teams like that do it. So to me, it still makes it fun to watch. And just remember, when you're watching a team playing in the bubble, the players can touch each other. The hockey players are getting into fights. And it's not like a baseball team that can't touch anybody. They can't touch. When you watch the basketball, watch NBA, WNBA, remember, players can high five. Players can shake hands. They can do that. Baseball cannot do that. I think that we at the end coming up today of the MLS tournament is coming up. And like we mentioned with Joe Patrick, they're going to go outside of the bubble, then resume the regular season.
How do you feel about that, man? How do you feel about that decision?
Portland and Orlando City is going to do that. I mean, that's like we mentioned earlier. I mean, maybe that's all the money they're going to spend for this tournament and to get things going. And now they're going to try it and see if it can work. How many fans will they allow, you know, at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to see Atlanta United? That's all those things are questions that are out there. And we'll see. But, you know.
And what's the crossover going to be if the NFL gets going as far as – see, they have that planned out in a regular calendar year as far as sports, but with the unknown as far as the NFL and then, you know, the MLS trying – and some of those guys use all the same buildings. What's going to happen? I mean, it's really – these next few months are going to be interesting. The decisions over the next few weeks are going to dictate what happens over the next few months. And whenever they decide to pull a trigger on some of these professional sports, where it's a go or not, it's going to be interesting how it plays out. So, you know, as T.O. says, like I said, get your popcorn and tune in. Sam, if you don't mind, if I could take a second, I want to just remind people who just tuned in, because one of the things that we pride ourselves on is letting people know about jobs, and it's been a minute since I've been able to let people know that there are some job opportunities waiting for you as an extra. We had January Curry on earlier from Destination Casting. There's a couple productions that are in pre-production, which means they are hiring people, not just the behind-the-cameras jobs. And by the way, that link is up also on the website on my casting call. But I have also got January Curry with two projects up and running. She is casting for one is a reality show, and one is Saints and Sinners, which is an established show. It's in its fifth season, and they have a need for everything from guys who look like prisoners to officers to restaurant servers and patrons in a restaurant. And even if you don't have the actual look of a whatever you're submitting yourself for, just do your best you can and get those pictures into them. But you aren't going to get to the jobs before you read the information that's needed before that, and that's the COVID-19 protocols that are in place. The productions that are about to hit production can't do what Tyler Perry did. A few of them may. And by the way, I don't know, Sam, I don't know if you saw this. Dwayne Johnson, who, by the way, I understand is back around the corner from me over here. He's back in Georgia at his house here. He put out, and you can go to YouTube and check it out, sort of a state of the industry, if you will, and his upcoming production, which is Red Notice. But he talked about what he's doing, and he has been in touch with the NBA personnel about doing a bubble for his movie. Now, everybody ain't going to be able to do that, because when you're at the top of the food chain like him as far as acting, and his production company and this production he's with is partnering with Netflix. So you got, you know, The Rock money and you got Netflix money. They can possibly do what Tyler Perry did. In fact, they might even do it at his place. I don't know, but I'm speculating. But not everybody's going to be able to do that. But if you want to hear from Dwayne Johnson and what he's getting ready to do as far as when he plans on going back to production, which, by the way, means jobs for you guys, because when they finish up that project, I'm going to let you know about it, and there's going to be extra opportunities. You can go to YouTube and hear what he's got to say. But that, much like sports, as they try to reopen or get their traction, they're going through it too. But we do have jobs for you up on our website if you guys want to submit. I actually have it up on Twitter too at GetCast with Greg. But you go to our website, 929thegame.com. You click on the menu button, go down to blogs, and you'll see Casting Call with Greg Clarkson. Kevin, want to get that out there, Ms. Crenshaw.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because it's great to have the jobs back. It's great to know that the industry is coming back. There's a lot of jobs, and it means a lot, not only locally, but statewide, to get those productions back up and going. And right now, Greg, like we mentioned before, with a lot of people have losing their jobs and searching for different means of employment to make some cash, any job they hear about right now, people are going to tune in. So it's great that we're able to do that. Great you got that back up and running, and hope people will go and check it out this week and actually submit themselves and get a chance to get some of that cash in your pocket.
Again, if you're looking for a long-term, not change, but maybe an addition to get in another revenue stream, and you've already maybe considered doing voiceover work, I've got Bill Sellers' information on there, too. Bill is a guy who'll take you from soup to nuts as far as anything you need to know about getting voiceover work up and running, getting your demo together. He'll help you out, record with him. So his information's up there. Those parents out there who want to get their kids on productions that link to the Georgia Department of Labor where you need that certificate, that's there. And just all the behind-the-scenes jobs. For those of you that have a skill set that lends itself to being on a crew, and maybe you got laid off, you got furloughed, whatever, or you just want to make a change, and you were doing something at, you know, one occupation beforehand, but you maybe like to try your hand at this. And if it's something that's on a movie set, I walk you through trying to find the jobs on Georgia.org. And if it's not there this week, check back next week, or in 2 days, or in 3 days. It's fluid. Ms. Crenshaw, or Jahi, listen, man, we ain't heard from you in a minute. How's your? What are you looking forward to today or upcoming this week?
Man, I want to see some NBA. That's really, I'm see some NBA and just see what's unfolding with everything, man. I want to see where college football, what happens with college football, what happens with NFL, like. Just to see everything unfold. It's just interesting. It's very interesting.
I think this is going to be a big week. I think it's going to be a big week for that. I think this week we may see some things with college football and high school football here locally. So I'm just really keeping an eye out and an ear out for those things. Like we mentioned earlier, Rockdale County is the first metro area school system to say we're not going to play. Decatur City has decided they're not going to play. And so we're watching to see if that happens. Any more dominoes fall in the Metro Atlanta area. We'll keep you up to speed this week here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Absolutely. And we can't thank you enough for that story about your father's mistress earlier, Jahi. That was great.
No problem.
it was an epic day with you today, man. We can't thank you enough. For the rest of you, you guys have yourself a big week. It's Sam and Greg. Remember, every Sunday morning, 6 a.m. to 10, we will talk to you next week. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.